Now turn to part two. You'll hear part of a radio talk about a small mammal called the brown hare. For questions 9 to 17, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds in which to look at part two.
The long-legged, long-eared brown hare, which looks like a taller cousin of the common rabbit, is an enigmatic creature. Shrouded in mystery and steeped in folklore, it attracts a wide range of admirers. To writers and artists, it's an endless source of inspiration. To hunters, it's a challenging game animal, as it dashes for cover across the winter fields. And more practically, to some farmers, it's an annoying pest. And although it's still familiar on farmland in many parts of Britain, conservationists are starting to detect a worrying problem because in recent years the brown hare hasn't been thriving and the population is in decline. What's more, this doesn't seem to be particularly connected with habitat. Hares are often to be found beside ditches where water plants provide plenty of cover during the day. At night, because they like to be where they can see danger coming, they make their way to open ground. Their main predators are foxes, but adult hares can easily outrun them. If a fox comes into a field where hares are, they won't pay much attention to it until it gets within about 50 metres. At that point, the hare stands on its hind legs and looks directly at the fox. This is actually a signal which says to the fox, "I've seen you, so there's no point in chasing me." It's a behaviour known as pursuit deterrence, and it's one that's beneficial to both animals because they don't waste the energy which would be expended in a fruitless chase. The fox and the hare often turn up in folklore, where hares are often associated with madness. This may stem from the fact that hares are basically nocturnal animals. People used to look out over open fields on clear moonlit nights and see hares behaving strangely. In the breeding season, which lasts from January to July, they may be seen chasing each other across fields and engaging in what look like boxing matches. In Britain, at least, hares are traditionally thought to go mad in March, but this is simply the time of the year when they're most evident to the casual observer. The nights are getting shorter, so they're forced out more during the hours of daylight, whilst the crops in the fields have not yet grown to a height where they conceal the hare's activities. So what is happening to this familiar creature? Some surveys carried out in the 1990s tried to determine trends in the hare population. In recent years, there have been many changes in agriculture that should have benefited hares. Fields have become larger, for example, whilst field crops have often replaced livestock farming. Both trends produce just the sort of habitat which hares seek out. But the population was in fact found to have declined by around 10% over 5 years. Thanks to the surveys, there now exists a clear picture of the national distribution of hares, and it's very uneven. Hare numbers have long been susceptible to annual fluctuation, but even taking this into account, a pattern emerges. A few isolated pockets with reasonable numbers of animals are interspersed with quite large areas with very few or none at all. In response to these findings, a number of schemes are being established and run by the Wildlife Trust. These are designed to show that game animals, wildlife and farming can coexist quite happily. In the areas covered by the schemes, vegetation is allowed to grow high in certain places, with more banks and ditches designed to provide protection for hares. With careful and judicious management, it should be possible to increase hare numbers quite dramatically and quickly within a limited area. The long-term conservation goal, however, is to achieve reasonable numbers of hares across the whole country. A plan of action for the hare was published in 1995. It has a highly ambitious target for the hare's recovery to ensure that the population recoups its decline by 2010. Thus, we hope that in the future...
Now you'll hear part two again.
The long-legged, long-eared brown hare, which looks like a taller cousin of the common rabbit, is an enigmatic creature. Shrouded in mystery and steeped in folklore, it attracts a wide range of admirers. To writers and artists, it's an endless source of inspiration. To hunters, it's a challenging game animal as it dashes for cover across the winter fields. And more practically, to some farmers, it's an annoying pest. And although it's still familiar on farmland in many parts of Britain, conservationists are starting to detect a worrying problem because in recent years the brown hare hasn't been thriving and the population is in decline. What's more, this doesn't seem to be particularly connected with habitat. Hares are often to be found beside ditches where water plants provide plenty of cover during the day. At night, because they like to be where they can see danger coming, they make their way to open ground. Their main predators are foxes, but adult hares can easily outrun them. If a fox comes into a field where hares are, they won't pay much attention to it until it gets within about 50 metres. At that point, the hare stands on its hind legs and looks directly at the fox. This is actually a signal which says to the fox, "I've seen you, so there's no point in chasing me." It's a behaviour known as pursuit deterrence, and it's one that's beneficial to both animals because they don't waste the energy which would be expended in a fruitless chase. The fox and the hare often turn up in folklore, where hares are often associated with madness. This may stem from the fact that hares are basically nocturnal animals. People used to look out over open fields on clear moonlit nights and see hares behaving strangely. In the breeding season, which lasts from January to July, they may be seen chasing each other across fields and engaging in what look like boxing matches. In Britain, at least, hares are traditionally thought to go mad in March, but this is simply the time of the year when they're most evident to the casual observer. The nights are getting shorter, so they're forced out more during the hours of daylight, whilst the crops in the fields have not yet grown to a height where they conceal the hare's activities. So what is happening to this familiar creature? Some surveys carried out in the 1990s tried to determine trends in the hare population. In recent years, there have been many changes in agriculture that should have benefited hares. Fields have become larger, for example, whilst field crops have often replaced livestock farming. Both trends produce just the sort of habitat which hares seek out. But the population was in fact found to have declined by around 10% over 5 years. Thanks to the surveys, there now exists a clear picture of the national distribution of hares, and it's very uneven. Hare numbers have long been susceptible to annual fluctuation, but even taking this into account, a pattern emerges. A few isolated pockets with reasonable numbers of animals are interspersed with quite large areas with very few or none at all. In response to these findings, a number of schemes are being established and run by the Wildlife Trust. These are designed to show that game animals, wildlife and farming can coexist quite happily. In the areas covered by the schemes, vegetation is allowed to grow high in certain places, with more banks and ditches designed to provide protection for hares. With careful and judicious management, it should be possible to increase hare numbers quite dramatically and quickly within a limited area. The long-term conservation goal, however, is to achieve reasonable numbers of hares across the whole country. A plan of action for the hare was published in 1995. It has a highly ambitious target for the hare's recovery to ensure that the population recoups its decline by 2010. Thus, we hope that in the future...
That's the end of part 2.